Welcome to Attention to Detail, the Classical Music Listening Guide, where we give you the tools to understand, appreciate, and enjoy listening to classical music.
Hey, it's Hannah Reffitt from the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, and I'm joined here again with Jacob Joyce, our associate conductor. Hey, Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Hannah?
I'm doing great. So today we are recording our fifth episode, and on this episode, we're going to walk through listening to Dvorak's Symphony No. 8. And today, we're very lucky to be joined by two very special guests, our colleagues at the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, Katie McGinnis and Donna Finney. Katie and Donna, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi, my name is Katie McGinnis. I am the Director of Artistic Planning for the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. I'm incredibly proud to work for such an incredible orchestra and very excited to be on this podcast today. A little nervous, admittedly, but very excited. As you can probably hear, I am from Dublin, Ireland. So here in Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm quite a long way from home, but at least everyone here makes me feel like I actually am home. So
we love your accent. And?
Hey guys, this is Donna Finney. I'm the Volunteer Services Manager, and I've been with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra for 3.5 years now. Again, I have a bit of a different accent. I'm originally from England. I moved to the US in 2006, and Indy has been my home for the past 5 years. Just like Kaylee, I'm excited to be here and also a little nervous too. So
we're excited to have you guys, and we also, it's great, we have a variety of different speaking styles on this podcast.
Love
so
it.
It'll be really exciting. So I wanted to start today because we're going to do this guided listening of Dvorak's Eighth Symphony, and we're going to go through, the purpose of doing this is to hear all of the different ways that one can hear a piece. They're all going to be, of course, equally valid and equally reasonable ways to listen to a piece, regardless of anyone's musical background. But we want to hear how many different ways there are to relate to a piece of music and how different people who have different learning styles, different ears, are able to do this. So I wanted to start today by actually doing a very small exercise to activate our attention, because our first episode, for our listeners, they may recall that it's all about listening attentively and really trying to hear a lot of the details that come up in a piece of music. So I want to do a little exercise before we even listen to the Dvorak, and this is something that our listeners can do before a concert. Before you listen to classical music in your own home, it's just a way to activate your ears and start listening really intently. So let's do this. We'll just sit here for 30 seconds. Maybe we'll cut this out of the podcast because we won't make our listeners sit here for 30 seconds in silence. But we'll just sit for 30 seconds in silence, close your eyes so you can really focus on what you're hearing, and just listen to the noises that are existing in the room, whatever, around you, and try to listen as closely as you possibly can to all the noises that might be hitting your ear, just so that you really clue yourself into what you're actually hearing. So we'll do that, and we'll come back shortly. All right, so we're back. We just did that little exercise. How did you guys feel? Were you able to hear some noises?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's amazing. When you close your eyes, you focus your attention on the sounds around you much more so. Yeah.
What did you hear?
I actually heard birds, and we're sitting here in the office of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra building. So we're right downtown in Indianapolis, and honestly, you typically wouldn't hear birds around you because it's in the center of a downtown city, but
you're being too kind, though. What else? Tell us what else you heard.
Honestly, I also heard you, Jacob, chewing on your fresh muffin that Hannah beautifully brought for us this morning.
Yeah. I guess I'm a loud chewer. What can I say? Bad trait to have. So now that we've activated our attention a little bit, it's a great exercise to do before you actually go to a concert, because it'll just perk up your ears 10% more to catch the stuff that you're hearing. I want to play the beginning of the symphony that we're going to hear today. And again, we're going to go through all of the techniques that we've introduced so far on the podcast, but I want to start just by listening to the opening of this symphony, the first minute and a half or so, and really use that same level of attention that you just had. You can even close your eyes if you want to. Really listen and just try to catch as many of those details as you can and just try to really notice what's going on in this piece. So here's, I'll play about a minute and a half of the beginning of Dvorak's Eighth Symphony. So any initial reactions? I know that's a lot of music to digest in one listen, but we'll break it down. Donna, what are your initial reactions?
I kind of found the piece a little bit flirty and confident. I'm getting, Katie's nodding at me like, not interesting choice of words, but it was, to kind of give you an idea of my background, I come from a classical ballet background, so it's hard for me to do anything but visualize dancers when I hear music. So I'm just picturing Juliet kind of flirting around on the dance floor. So that's where I'm hearing and seeing.
I can totally see that. Anybody else? Was there any glaring?
Yeah, I mean, I have confessed in our previous four episodes that I see scenes when I first listen to a piece. So this one was it started off very slow, so, and then it built and built and built. So I myself, it's Dvorak, so I was seeing very like regalness, and there's this scene where people are going into a party and it's slow and they walk in and everyone's like dancing, and then someone royal walks in. So yeah,
interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so what we're gonna do now, let's start by breaking this clip down by the individual ideas. And as a fun little exercise here, we've made a list of 18 different, there's gonna be 18 ideas in this clip, and we've made a list of 18 different categories that we can use to describe these ideas. And so I'm going to read this list off. And the way this is going to go is we'll go in turns. I won't participate, but the three of you will participate. And every time we play an idea, one person will assign one of these things to that idea that they hear particularly strongly. And once we've used a category, it will disappear from the list. So if someone takes adjective, that's probably one of the easier ones. It's going to make it tougher for other people later on. So there's some strategy involved. You want the other people to have the more difficult categories as we get to the end. But let me read off these categories, and then we will we'll listen to the ideas and start assigning some stuff. So the possible categories we've come up with are adjective, of course, color, a painting, whether it's a real or a imagined painting, a book, same thing, real or imagined, a food, a drink, an animal, a plant, a landscape, like some sort of vista that you see, a sport. Here's where we get into the slightly more challenging ones. A condiment, a car, article of clothing, a piece of furniture, a gemstone. These are going to be really tough. A country, a Game of Thrones character, and someone from the 2020 Democratic primary field. Which neither
Donna or Katie could even vote for.
Exactly. So you guys will really need to dig deep in your knowledge of American politics here. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to these ideas and then assign some of these categories. So let's start. Who's going to start us off?
I'm happy to start.
Okay. Hannah, let's go clockwise. So it'll go Hannah, Donna, Katie. So Katie, you're going to get stuck with the last category. I apologize.
2020, here we go.
So, well, depends
on...
I'll
just pick the one I know.
Yeah.
And then make it work. Yeah.
All right, so here's the first idea, and Hannah, you get first choice. All right, so what are you gonna go with for that one?
Can I do food?
Yeah, food.
Butter.
Butter. Nice. Okay, so food is off the table. Donna, you're up next. What are you going with for that one?
I'm going to go with color, and I'm going to say lilac.
Lilac. Wow. Oh. Very good. Very descriptive. Excellent. Katie?
I'm going to go with Game of Thrones character.
Okay, wow.
Because it is definitely Jon Snow.
Oh.
This entire opening to me is so honorable.
Yeah, and kind exactly of also a little broody. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay, nice. Jon Snow. Wow, one of the tough ones off the table early. Okay, Hannah, you're up next. All right, what are you going with for that one?
Ducklings.
Ducklings, nice. I figured that would be an animal.
Yeah,
that was an easy one. Not easy one, but animal, good choice. Donna, very short one.
This is going to be, I don't think you guys will agree with me. I'm going to go with articles of clothing. This makes me think of when I'm walking my dogs on a spring morning. I'm going to go with Chuck's shoes.
Wait, what is that? What?
Chuck shoes, you know, like the All-Stars, Converse.
The Converse.
Oh.
Is that a British thing?
No, this is like, no, everyone wears these guys.
Chucks, too. Yeah.
Chucks.
Yeah. I love how she says, is that a British thing? And she looks at me, the Irish girl.
Chucks, okay. Good, excellent.
You don't have a pair of Chucks.
I don't have a pair of
Chucks.
You
need to own some.
Our music director, Christoph, has many pairs of Chucks.
I think his are Converse.
Oh, it's a different brand?
It's a different... I think that's a different
brand. No, it's the same brand.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, checks. Excellent.
That's hard.
We're getting lower down here on the categories.
Can I take hers?
No.
Let me think. Maybe it's because I hear, it's very hard for me to connect it to some of the things on this list, but I'm going to use another person for this.
Okay.
Mayor Pete.
Nice.
In that moment. Because again, I think that's why, because for Dvorak, I hear this, I think Mayor Pete is also supposed to be this person that, from what I've read, is that it also, he's very honest.
Yeah, he's very honest. Yeah.
In that moment in the music with the flute there, it seems like it is very honest.
Nice. Props to Mayor Pete. That's a great moment in music. Okay, good.
Katie, you're taking the hard ones.
You're taking all the hard ones. Yeah. All right, Hannah.
So this was my royal dignitary entering scene. So I'm gonna say for that maybe champagne.
Oh, nice! I thought you were gonna do a painting. Nice. I thought you were gonna do a painting, but that's good. It's like popping a cork. All right, next one. All right, Donna.
Yeah, I'm going to catch on to Hannah's royal theme, and I picture in a queen with all of her fancy jewels, and she's walking around with beautiful emeralds at this point. So I'm picking gemstone.
Oh, nice. Okay, emerald.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
My birthstone.
May.
It's May, you guys. So nice. Where are my birthday presents?
When is your birthday?
Next week.
Nice.
So I'm very glad, Donna, that you picked gemstone, because I thought you were going to pick country, but actually it worked perfectly to pair with mine, because I am going to pick country to go off your emerald, because what I am seeing is Scotland. I'm seeing Highlands, and that actually has a knock-on effect from yours as well, Hannah, with the royalties.
Yeah, very good. All right, Hannah, another short one.
Gosh, that was really dignified for me.
Uh-huh.
So
adjective is still on the table somehow.
Oh. Is that an adjective?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great, done.
Dignified, done.
It's too easy.
So I'm going to pick piece of furniture. I've totally choreographed a beautiful ballet scene, and what's going on right now in my head is we've got a beautiful queen with her emeralds, and she's sitting on her throne.
Ah, throne. Excellent. All right, Katie, let's do a quick recap of what do we have left? What's still on the table?
Do you want me to list it off?
Yes.
So we still have painting, book, plant, landscape, sport, condiment, and car.
All right, okay. It's getting tough.
Did we do article of clothing?
Yeah,
yes.
That was my choice.
Yes, okay.
So it is definitely getting tricky now, but I feel like we've got a bit of a theme going on, Donna. We may be affecting this theme. But how about we go with condiment, English mustard?
What's English mustard?
Enlighten us. So English mustard is a kind of, I mean, it's a mustard, but with all of the...
grains?
The mustard seeds. Oh, yeah. It's like, we have that. It's just not called English mustard.
Grey Poupon.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think I'll pick that for my condiment.
Excellent.
So definitely, I'm seeing a fancy, fast car, but an old-fashioned Rolls Royce.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Excellent.
I'm picturing Gabby doing some awesome gymnastics stuff, so I pick sports.
So I'm going to go with landscape to kind of go on from my country earlier, mm-hmm. and to keep that same theme, which is this kind of image of rolling mountains and green everywhere and
excellent
the landscape.
What do you got, Hannah? Three categories left.
Is there a book about fireworks?
Yeah, you could just say like
or a painting of fireworks.
There's definitely a painting of fireworks.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Done.
A painting of fireworks. Good. Or you could say like I bet there's like a fireworks for dummies book on like how to set off fireworks. That would work as well.
So am I taking a book or painting?
Painting. Painting of fireworks.
Painting? Great.
All right, Dana, last two.
All right, so I travel by foot all of the time, and down here in Indianapolis, we've got this cultural trail, and along there is these gorgeous plants, flowers, I don't know what they're called, but they're super tall. They come up to like my hip, and I'm 5'4", so they're pretty tall, and they've got this like round purple top to them. They're beautiful. I don't know what they're called, but it just makes me think of that. They're very regal with that theme that we're going with, but that's what I'm picturing right now. If anyone knows what it's called,
we have to go walk the cultural trail now and check those out.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, Katie, short end of the stick, you've got the last one.
Well, yeah, so I have book left, and I kind of see it as this, it's definitely a drama, perhaps in some sense based on, you know, true facts in history, but we're still going with this regal theme, because in that moment there, we have our bassoons coming in, and they're making that curious suggestion of the sneakiness that was mentioned earlier. So I think that's where I kind of thought, oh yeah, it's like a dramatic book.
Could be like a Shakespeare history play.
Absolutely.
Maybe. Let's go with that. Excellent. All right. Fantastic job from everyone. So we finished our 18 categories there. Now let's go back, and now that we're more familiar with this clip, I want to stay with this clip for just a little bit longer, and then I promise we'll go further into the symphony. But I want to do our grouping exercise where we start hearing these ideas as clumps and differentiating between their similarities and differences. And so for this one, I want to do the same thing. We have six groups that I've identified. I'll just be a little helper here and play the groups as I've identified them. If someone else has a different hearing, that is by no means correct or incorrect. These are just my assessments of these groupings. And same thing, I want to go around. Maybe Katie, you can go first this time.
Sure.
We'll go in backwards order. And we've got six categories of how we can describe the similarities in these ideas. And I want us to listen and try to really hear why these ideas that we separated out just now and gave their own category have similarities. So for this, I want to use something, terms that are a little more applicable to the actual music. And we've got six categories here. I'll list them now. So we have sound quality, which I'm thinking means kind of, does it have a light or a dark sound? Does it have a harsh, abrasive, or a calming, relaxed sound? The actual quality of the sound that hits your ear. Is it abrasive? Is it, you know, light, airy, whatever it may be? We have the speed of the music. So that one's pretty simple. Is it going fast or slow? We have the instruments that are playing. We don't need to identify the instruments by name, but we just want to see, is there a similarity in the instruments that are playing throughout the group? The emotional quality, is there a similarity in the emotional quality of these ideas? Are they all sad? Are they all happy? Are they all, we can be more descriptive than sad or happy, but do they all share an emotional quality? Do they share a rhythmic quality, which means are they, you know, driving? Are they really, do we hear a firm beat, or are they much more soothing, relaxed, loose with the rhythm, the beat? And then the last one is, again, very simple, just the loudness. Are they, is the group that we've identified basically the same volume or not? And so as we take these away, it should be noted that groups, as we mentioned in our episode on grouping, not everything about musical ideas is similar. And so maybe we'll have a group where the instruments change. So maybe someone will get stuck with a really bad category and they won't actually be able to complete this task, but that's part of the strategy. So we're really trying to hit Hannah with the hardest category here at the end because she's going last. So let's listen to these six groups, and now we're trying to listen, now that we know the ideas a little bit better, we're trying to listen for the similarities in those ideas and why we've collected them into a bigger group. All right, Katie, so start us off here. You had three pretty long ideas there. Did you find a similarity between all of them?
Yes, there's many, many similarities between all three because in my mind, they all connect as really one big phrase. But for me, I suppose the rhythmic quality is similar because each one has this legato, which is this smooth connecting yes. quality. So we have the strings, first of all, and of course they're playing with their bows and they are playing with that legato sound, and then you've got the horns coming in as well. So all three for me have that similar rhythmic quality. It's not chopped at all.
Right.
It's very smooth legato.
Good, excellent. And as you mentioned, I mean, many of these categories may apply, but there also may be some, the clip is not entirely the same loudness the whole time. It gets softer at the end, so some of these things will apply, some of them will not. All right, Donna, you will be up next. All right, got one for that?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the emotional quality. I'm feeling playful and again, tying into that flirty side of things. So that's where my mind and my feelings were going when I was listening to that.
Excellent, totally. I see that 100%. All right, Hannah, you're gonna be up next.
Yeah, so that one I think is probably obvious that I'm gonna pick loudness because it starts off at like this mid level and then it just keeps increasing and then it hits to a point where it's just sustained loudness from, I'm imagining, I don't know the piece, so probably every section on stage.
Yes, exactly.
It's going full blast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. All right, Katie, you're up again.
Okay.
So you got a very short one, Katie?
Yes, that's very short.
Should be the easiest because it was really like one idea.
it's really just one idea with the instruments.
Yeah, exactly.
In that moment.
So I think actually Yeah, that we don't even need to find a similarity there because it's just one musical idea. So that you got the easiest one. All right, Donna. So Hannah's already taken loudness. It's a similar style clip. What are you going to go with? You're down to a couple here.
Sorry, Hannah. I'm going to have to go with speed.
Oh. Nice.
I'm picking up on the gradual increase on the speed with the sections.
Yeah, excellent. So what are you left with, Hannah? Sound quality.
Sound quality I am left with. Wait, could you remind me what that means?
Yes, sound quality is going to be, you know, how the sound actually interacts with your ear. Is it harsh? Is it abrasive? Is it light? Is it airy? Something about the quality of the sound that you're actually hearing.
Gotcha.
So longer one, again, that maybe could be multiple groups, but tell us something about the sound quality.
Sound quality, I would say intense, like it really hits you in the face.
Yeah. And I think we didn't really stick you with one there because for me that the sound quality there is very consistent. Yeah. It's a biting in your face sound. So excellent. So great job. We've grouped those ideas now. Now I want to briefly also touch on our last technique that we talk about in our fundamental series of mapping. So I want to play a little bit more of the symphony now, and we're each going to take a different approach to mapping out the next little bit of music. So if you've listened to our fourth episode, Hannah did an excellent mental palace for us where you built a series of rooms in a house. So someone is going to get to do a mental palace for the next little clip of music. Who's going to take that one?
Katie or Donna should do it.
Yeah, that's... Donna, you want it?
I want Road Trip.
Okay, Katie, mental palace?
Mental palace.
Excellent. So Donna, then you will have Road Trip. That's going to be our next one, which I'm imagining is like you're going on a road trip with several different stops, and each of our landmark points along the way is one of your stops, and so you can describe either where you're actually stopping or how you travel from those points, like what the landscape, whatever, around when you're driving looks like. And Hannah, you are going to have our city map, which I'm imagining is like if you're taking a walking tour of a city and you're going from neighborhood to neighborhood, imagine how those neighborhoods are laid out and what the character of each neighborhood is. Maybe you're restructuring Manhattan or something. You know, Manhattan, you can walk from neighborhood to neighborhood. They have very different characters. So that's what I'm imagining. So let's, again, be really attentive to this next clip and try to hear those landmark points now where you really hear a strong demarcation of something new after a big group of ideas. And then from there, we will map out the next little section. Thank you. All right. So again, a lot of music to listen to there. I think I lost count of how many landmark points I actually heard. It was like 4 or 5. So we'll have a nice little 5-room palace road stop, road trip, whatever it may be. Let me play each individual clip now, and we have our mapping tasks. We'll play one little section between two landmark points, and then we'll say how we are gonna map that. And then at the end, it'll be nice to just go back and see what we've actually constructed for this clip. So here is the first musical clip one more time. All right, so that's, for me, the first big landmark spot in that clip. Who is doing Mental Palace again? Katie.
Me.
Excellent. Can you give us a room of a house or palace or something that's evoking for you? What does the room look like?
Well, so for me, the actual entire clip is kind of one big room. Mm-hmm. So I will tell you, this first bit is as if I'm entering, mine is an ensuite bedroom. But it's an ensuite bedroom with a walk-in closet. So this first clip, because of the flutes, it made me think of like being kind of young and innocent and seeing these beautiful flowing dresses. So I'm walking into the first part of this major big room where it's like a closet with all these clothes hanging, and I have no idea what I'm actually going to continue on to see at that point.
Excellent. Okay, so you're saying that the entire clip that we listened to before is kind of one bedroom. Excellent. Great.
One
great
big room, but it then
okay,
I,
that was
I
the closet. Yeah, perfect.
Closet, yeah.
Okay, Donna, road trip.
So I probably shouldn't have picked road trip because I don't drive. I do every kind of commute via foot, but we're going to do this. I'm going to talk you through my commute from when I used to live in Fannin Square to work. And so for this first part for me is, again, kind of, it's the playful side. I have two dogs, Poppy and Daisy, and so my walk would start off with saying goodbye to them, and they would be in the window and just like scratching away at the doors and just kind of like walking away a little bit sad, a little bit playful down Pleasant Street, which was the street that I used to live on.
That's perfect. That sounds very much like leaving
Pleasant,
your dogs
yeah.
in the morning. Okay, Hannah, what for a city map?
I was seeing Lincoln Center, one of my favorite places.
Nice.
On the planet. And for me, it's just a very peaceful place. So, and like all the fountains and then like the pond in front of Lincoln Center Theater. It's just very peaceful. And then there's, I don't know, I feel a sense of playfulness but almost nostalgia, and I've had a lot of I've spent a lot of time with friends there, so that's what I got out of it.
Perfect. All right. Excellent. Here's the next clip. So I think there was a mini landmark point in there, but let's call that one big clip. So Katie, next room in your, or section of your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you do say it's like one or maybe two, because that's how I see it in my head. So it starts, I'm still in the closet, and as it kind of gets a little bit more upbeat, shall we say, I'm starting to discover all of these different elements in the closet, all these different shoes and whatnot. And as I'm going through all these various clothes and shoes and handbags and amazed by everything, I'm gradually finding out that this closet is actually connected to this incredible, stunning room. And as the music builds up, as I go through that door that leads into the bedroom, it just reveals this incredible, large, beautiful, glamorous room.
Excellent, excellent. How about you, Donna? The where's our next stop on the road trip?
So we're taking a right onto Shelby Street. So at this point, this really used to be my commute to work. So I've just taken a right onto Shelby Street and I've kind of kicked it up a gear. I'm kind of, when I walk into work, I'm usually thinking about the day ahead. I'm starting to feel good about what's going on. I've changed my tempo. I've started to speed up. I've gotten over saying goodbye to my dogs. And so I'm starting to feel good about the day ahead of me. So that's where
nice.
We're at with me right now.
Good.
I've suddenly gotten on the one train in Manhattan, but I'm on the train and then I get off the train and then I'm in Midtown and I get up through the underground and then I walk up through and then I'm just overwhelmed by the loominess of the tall high rises.
In yeah. Manhattan. Excellent. Great. All right. Next clip. Back to you, Katie.
So now I'm in the bedroom and exploring this bedroom. It starts off that I'm like, at the start, I'm realizing that it's silk bed sheets that are on the bed because it has that beautiful texture. And then I'm just exploring it and enjoying this whole bedroom with all of these amazing different colors in it and lamps and the pure luxury of that bedroom.
Excellent.
All right, so for me, for anybody that lives in Indianapolis, you probably know that there's a really good Dairy Queen in Founding Square. So I used to have to walk by this every day. And what I'm hearing when I'm walking by, I'm like, oh yeah, no, you can't have Dairy Queen. And I'm feeling really confident about that. I've just walked by Dairy Queen without putting in my order for a mini blizzard. So.
Excellent, excellent. Nice self-control. Something that I don't have.
I don't have, but I have a big sweet tooth.
So I've gotten to Washington Square Park, and I don't know what the monument is called in Washington Square Park, but I'm really seeing that, and I'm walking through it. But it feels NYU is right there, so it feels scholarly and grand, but serene, and yeah.
Excellent. All right. All right, last one.
So this for me is that I have just discovered that there is another, even better room that connects to this bedroom. And as it comes to the end of that clip, it makes quite a calming but also quite a romantic suggestion at the end. And I've just discovered that this bedroom is an ensuite. And it has the most amazing, beautiful, giant bathtub.
Oh, nice.
Full of bubbles.
that's great. That's great. All right.
For me, I'm walking past like an overpass and seeing all of the commuters and feeling so thankful that I travel by foot and soaking in all of the views and spotting all of the flowers and just kind of like soaking it all in. That's the point where I kind of really get settled into my walk and really thankful for what I've got. So
that's nice. Okay, cool. I am still in Manhattan and I've reached the Lower East Side of the city and I'm walking through all of the tall high rises. This seemed like two ideas in this.
A little bit, yeah. Again.
And I finally have made my way through all of the tall buildings, and I'm at the very tip of Manhattan by Hudson, and I can see the Statue of Liberty, and it's
nice.
Finally come to a peaceful, safe place.
Perfect. Well, excellent. So we've wrapped up this clip of music. Let's review how we actually mapped out this clip. So, Katie, take us through your entire structure, just very briefly.
Of the entire clip?
You had like a closet, and then you...
For me, listening to the entire clip, as I said at the start, I think my ears are probably a lot more used to listening to classical music, so I hear it as very often as one big phrase and one big swoop. So for me, I really zoned in, and I tried actually to take myself to another room in my palace.
Yeah.
It was very hard for me to actually do that. But then I realized that even in that one grouping, that there are different elements of it. So that's how I was able to split up my bedroom into a walk-in large closet, then the bedroom itself, then this bathroom that connects it.
The bubble baths. So Donna, we didn't quite make it all the way to Hilbert Circle Theater on this particular, but that's for the rest of the piece, right? Take us through where we walked so far.
So for me, I guess it really does kind of make me really think about my walks, and because, you know, I really would go through different emotions, like the sadness of seeing my cute little dogs, to, okay, let's do this with the day where it's, you know, more boisterous music and I'm feeling confident about the day and confident about the fact that I just walked past Dairy Queen, to the gentle side of the music where I'm more settled into what's about to happen with my day, to taking in what's going in around me. And soaking in everything, so.
Fantastic. And Hannah, we made it part of the way through New York?
Yeah, we made it from 65th all the way down to the bottom of Manhattan. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it was really nice to go back there, just mentally.
Excellent, excellent. So, I think now the best thing to do, I want to play, we made it almost halfway through this movement, and I would encourage our listeners to take the same approach to the rest of the movement, to the rest of the symphony. It's one of my favorite symphonies. Let's listen to this clip once more, just now that we've touched on it in so many different ways with so much detail, and listen to how the clip may have changed for you based on our hearings, and hopefully based on your own hearing, our listeners' hearing of what you've noticed in this clip and how some of the ideas interact, how they're grouped, how you might map this music.
Thank you.
All right, so any final conclusions? I know for me, and I do this professionally, I spend hours and hours a day listening to music attentively, and to really listen attentively for it. That's the longest clip we've played so far on the podcast of 4 minutes. It's very hard to not get distracted. It's very taxing mentally to hear in that way and to pay attention. But I also hope it's illustrative of how much there is to hear even in a 4 minute clip. I mean, you think about that when we go to a 2 hour long concert, it's a marathon in a way if you're really paying attention. But there's so much to hear. So any conclusions?
That flute is amazing. That sustained note in the during the duckling part.
Oh, I love that. So cool. It's a great flute solo.
I think that just like being more familiar with it allows for listeners to enjoy it more. That's something that I really like. That's a jam. That's really good.
Yeah. Katie.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it actually really is a very interesting exercise, I have to say, because I also literally spend my days listening to music nonstop because of what I do, but I never listen to it with an exercise like this. So this is why kind of coming into it, I found it a little bit, I had a bit of anxiety over it because I don't really listen to music in this way. Like, I know at the start of the podcast, people mentioned like, oh, they see something, or because of their theater background or their ballet background. When I listen to music, I don't see anything.
Right.
It's the music. I hear the music and I hear the phrases because I've kind of been trained to hear that language. But it was so interesting in the clip back that as soon as we got to the bit where we had started to do our mapping exercise, my ears remembered and my mind remembered, oh, yeah, this is now a room to me, which is really fascinating, and I think could be really helpful to audience members to use that as a tool when they are listening to, as you say, a long concert, because it is very difficult to listen to music for 2 hours. But if you are allowing your imagination to kind of visualize these different aspects, it can really carry you through, because instantly then you see all of these different things. It's great.
Right, and I think you bring up a good point, which is that we've mentioned that this podcast is somewhat meant for people who are new to the concert-going experience, new to classical music, but I think for musicians as well, and just for people of any level, there's no harm in unlocking the creative, artistic side of your ear. And so, regardless of how much experience you have, if you can bring this active and somewhat creative, dare I say, musical ability to the listening process, it can only serve you. There's
it enhances it.
Yeah, it certainly enhances it. And we've explained before on the podcast that the idea is to help people who don't have that ability to listen to music just as music, understand by kind of engaging their artistic mind how music is built, how they can get a meaningful experience. But I think a lot of musicians don't listen in this way as well, and I think they would be better served. It might lend for more interesting musical interpretations, more artistic engagement with the works that they're playing, performing, listening to. So I think it's a good point. I think it can help anybody, I hope.
Definitely. It certainly helped me, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to thank both Donna and Katie. Thank you so much for being with us today. I think that's where we're going to wrap. To our listeners, keep an eye out for our next episodes coming up. I think we're going to be doing a music and wine episode, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, certainly at some point. That's something that Hannah and I both care probably too much about. So, you know, we'll have to hit on that at some point.
We definitely will. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
For more information about this podcast, you can find us at attentiontodetailpod.com, where you'll find a list of techniques presented in these episodes and a 2-week program for starting your own listening practice. You can also find us on all of your favorite social media channels. We encourage you to follow us, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and if you enjoy the show, please give us a rating. We hope to see you soon at a concert.